I want to ask you something, to do something today that's going to be hard for you to do. It's going to be difficult for you to do, but if you can do it and if you can conquer it, things will be better. My message this morning is don't look back. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do today, to think about, to consider what I've got to say, what God has to say about this, that if you would do not look back and try to forget the past. Now that's a big challenge there, to forget the past, because many of us have had things that has happened in our life, tragedies that have happened in our life, lost loved ones in our life, lost marriages in our life, lost jobs. There's been a lot that's gone on that's hard to put in the past and hard to forget. But I want to tell you this morning that with God's help, all things are possible. What sounds impossible is impossible with God. And the only way you're going to be able to do what I ask you to do this year is you're going to have to stay close to God, because He's the only one that can make this happen. Now you say, why would you want me to forget the past? Because God asks us to forget the past. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah's in the Old Testament. Danny over here has a son named Isaiah, a good boy. Starting with verse 18, listen to what God says. He says, this is Isaiah 43, beginning with 18. Forget the former things. That sounds like to me, forget the past. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, and now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. You see, God, what He wants us to do is to praise Him and to worship Him and to honor Him. And in order for us to do that, He recognizes that there's some things that He has to do for that to happen. We're not going to praise and honor and bring glory to a God that's not good to us, first of all, that doesn't bless us and doesn't care for us. So God says that He is continually doing a new thing. And He's doing the new thing because if it's the same old thing, then we never get out of the rut that we're in. See, a lot of us are in a rut right now. Got a brand new year. We've just come through 2020. I'm not going to go through all that again, but you know what you've gone through. And in your life, you know what you've gone through. But you have attached yourself to this God, and God wants you to know that He cares for you and that He's doing some things new all the time to get you away from forever thinking about the past. You're into the present now, and we're going into the future. And we need to think about that, because the Bible says, see, He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, He says, and because He provides water in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people. See, God is looking after us. And He's saying here, if I am doing this for the wild animals and the owls and all of the things of that nature, how much more will I do for you, whom I love, that I want you to praise me? And the reason I'm doing this for you is because I want you to praise me. Does that make any sense? That's what he's saying to us. Now, the past is, like I said, is very difficult. But God, when you accepted God, when you came to God, God began to change you. If you think about it, God himself, by believing in him, already has begun to change your past. So I've done some things in my life that I'm not happy about. Before I belonged to God, when I belonged to the world, I did things that I'm very much ashamed of. You know, I offended God many, many times. I broke his heart so many times. And, you know, you might want to look down at me for that, but I assure you, you have too, if you'll think about it. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. We've all done things that offended God and broke his heart. But when we came to know him and he saved our soul, then did you notice when that happened to you, because I did, that you began to change? Things became new again. You weren't going down that same old road that you were going down before. You were thinking a little different. It doesn't happen all at once. I got a long way to go before God will perfect me, but I'm a long way from where I was. And see, that's the way he does. It's a slow process. You didn't get saved and then overnight all of a sudden wake up the next morning and you were the treasure of life that you are now. It didn't happen that way, did it? You started thinking about some of the things you said. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. Some of the things you were doing. And then you had to admit to God, hey, I'm not doing right there. Some of the things I'm thinking, you know, God got in there and he changed all of that, because the Bible says he's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in us, each one of us, every day. And I want to tell you that if you'll give him a chance, if you come to church on Sunday and then go out into the world Monday through Saturday with the right mindset about Jesus and about God, he will surely change you and continue changing you. Because, see, what he wants to do is he wants to get us to a place that we can be perfect, sinless. And why does he want that? Because he can't be around sin. God can't have anything to do with sin. And so he has to make us, purify us, and continue to do it. That's why he turned away from Jesus on the cross. Not because he didn't love his son, but he couldn't be around sin. He had to let his son go, had to do that. So I encourage you to let go of your past. Forget it and look to your future. Forget about 2020. As bad a year as it was, forget about it. You know why? Because you can't do anything about it. Has anybody here got anything that they can do about what happened in 2020? No. All we can do is grumble and talk about it and get depressed about it and get anxiety about it and worry about it. And, you know, but you can't do anything about it. So we have to move forward. And I will tell you, the best way to move forward is to move forward with God. You can't do it on your own. You cannot forget your past without God. You just can't do it. Because the devil who rules this world, he's going to continually throw it up to you. Continually. He loves that. Does it to me all the time. I get so frustrated. I get through preaching, go home on Sunday, and the devil just throwing stuff at me. The only thing that could get me out of that is watching a bunch of football. I can watch a bunch of football, I can forget about the devil for a little while until my team starts messing up. Then here he comes again. But I'm going to tell you before we do communion, how would you like for me to give you this morning 10, they're quick, 10 predictions for 2021 that I can promise you with my life that they'll come true? How would you like to leave here with 10 things that I can guarantee you will come true? You say, brother, well, who are you to guarantee them? I'm just a lowly nobody. But these 10 things, I can promise you. And you might want to write them down. My folks in my other church, it's the first time, and I've been preaching there for 10 years, that they wrote down very much anything I said. It must be 2021 is changing. It's getting better. God's making a new thing. All right, here they are. Number one, the Bible will still always have all the answers. That's my first prediction. You can count on it. This book right here, it's a number one seller of all time. It's been around for centuries. Everybody that you can imagine has tried to destroy it, discard it, do away with it, disarm it, anything that you can think about. They have never been able to do it. The Bible will still have all the answers. The key to it is you got to read it. You got to read it. Is there anybody in here that reads their Bible regular? I'm talking about regular, not just every now and then when something goes wrong, but every day get in the Bible and read a little bit, even if it's only 10 minutes. Okay. If you want 2021 to be good, you need to change and start reading your Bible, because it has the answers to all your problems. And you say, well, I don't know where to look in the Bible. I don't even read it that much. All you got to do is take your telephone and on the internet and say, type in there, what does the Bible say about this or that? What does the Bible say about worry? What does the Bible say about anxiety? What does it say about depression? What does it say about my husband's mad at me? What does it say about this and that? And the internet will come back on and start, it'll give you Bible verses where you can go in this book to get the answer to the problem you're having. But the Bible has all, it's the only book you need. I know people that read. They've read all their life. They read every book they can come up with. Their libraries are wall to wall packed with books, but they never read the most important one there is. The Bible. Read your Bible. Number two, prayer will still be the most powerful thing on earth. Prayer. Praying about all your situations, both big and small. And talk to God like He's your Father. Like He's your Father. And you can talk to Him about the answers you found in the Bible for the problems that you have, whatever they are. And then talk to Him about it. And let Him love on you. Let Him love. God will love on you if you'll just crawl up in His lap. You know, I got a little dog at home, a little German schnauzer. His name is Charlie. And he's the cutest, sweetest little thing that you've ever met, other than the dog you have, which is probably, to you, is more sweet. But he gets up in my lap and I rub his ears and rub him and tell him how much I love him and what a good buddy he is. And he'd let me do that all day long if I'd do it. And I tell you that because that's what God wants you to do. That's what your Father wants you to do, is to crawl up into His lap. And sometimes when I get down and out, I crawl up in His lap and I say, God, would you rub my ears and pet me a little bit and tell me that you love me and that you're my friend, and you know, treat me like I treat my dog. If you'll do that, see, and talk to Him, you will uncover some of the biggest power that you've uncovered in your whole life. If you'll just do that. Read the Bible. Talk to God. Number three, the Holy Spirit in 2021 will still move. Whether you do anything to help the Holy Spirit move or not, the Holy Spirit will move. See, a lot of, especially Methodists, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit near as much as we should. The Holy Spirit is a person, spirit of a person that lives inside us, who is God, just like Jesus, and the Father's God, part of the Trinity. And He was left here inside your heart when you became saved to help you get through the day, to help you forget the past, to help you cope with today, to help you plan for the future, to help you get out of those mood issues that you have, that depression, anxiety, all of that stuff that happens. Anxiety and depression, I've said that three times, it's two of the biggest things we got going for us in America today. And this virus has made it that way. The Holy Spirit will help you through that. And all you have to do to ignite the Holy Spirit in your life is you just have to ask Him. You know, everybody's got batteries at home, but they don't do no good until you hook them up to something. You got to put them in something and hook them up, and then look what happens. You take a portable radio, you can turn it on, turn it up, do everything you want to, it doesn't do anything. Put a couple of batteries in there and it'll blast you out, see? Same thing with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will still move. And number four, God will still honor the praises of His people. He will honor your praises. If you come to church and you worship and you praise Him and you praise Him at home and you say a blessing at your table before you eat your food and you take time to bless Jesus, take time out at Christmas and all of that gift wrapping and putting up lights and cooking and shopping and all that stuff you do, if you just take a little time to thank Him and for Jesus and to praise Him a little bit, God will honor that. And He'll honor that by blessing you in your life day to day. You'll have blessings in your life that you never imagined. He has blessings for you right now that He's holding up for me. You know why? Because we don't praise Him enough. He's a jealous God. In fact, if you read in the Bible, it says the whole reason He made us was to worship Him. That's all He wants, worship Him. Praise Him. You know, talk about a narcissist. So He honors your praise and He blesses you for it. And then the fifth one, I read this one, I said, I don't know if too much. There will still be God-anointed preaching. You know, we have some preachers today that are just preaching prosperity and everything's going to be good and nothing's ever going to be wrong. All you got to do is believe in God and it's hunky-dory right on into glory land. And you and I both know that that's not true. We know there's going to be problems. There's going to be valleys. There's going to be mountains that are hard to climb, rivers that's hard to swim. You all know that. But there are preachers left today who are anointed by God that's trying to give you a message. Now, every sermon that I have is not necessarily good to everybody that's in here. Some mornings you come and you say, boy, he did a good job this morning. And other mornings you leave going, I wish he'd stayed home. But what you have to understand about preaching is this. God gives us a message because he knows who's going to be here. And he might know something. Greg, if you'll allow me to use you, he might know something that you're going through. And you may be the only one in here that needs to hear the sermon. He's speaking to you. Next week he'll move on to somebody else. Some mornings he says things that we're all blessed from. Some sermons I've given that the only one he gave it to was me. I needed to hear it. That's the way it works. But as long as we have preachers out there that's listening to God, trying to decipher what it is he has to say, and then we'll get up here on Sunday morning, open our mouth and let him speak, that's still going on, and you can count on that for the coming year. I will not promise a great sermon every Sunday. There will be singing of praise to God. You know, I play guitar. I was blessed with that ability. And I can't tell you how many times in my life that I just got my guitar, sat down, and started singing that took me over the edge and got me out of the mood I was in. Low, depressed. Start singing, and all of a sudden you look around and everything's rosy again. I've also done it opposite that. I was feeling really great and started singing and went the other way. Not everybody here plays a musical instrument, but everybody here can sing. Singing needs to be a part of your life. You know that? You need to just sing a little song. A little song in your heart every now and then. And it's one of the biggest ways we can praise God is to sing. See, people like Tommy, he got it made because he sings all the time. That's what they do. But I guarantee if their heart's right with the Lord, the reason they continue to do that is because of the praise, the blessing that they get from it. Number 7, God will pour out his blessings upon his people. Now, listen to what that said, upon his people. If you belong to God, you belong to Jesus, and you believe that, and you're not ashamed to show that out in public, God will pour out his blessings upon you like you've never seen. And you might say, well, I had a pretty hard time. I'm having a pretty hard time. God seems to be blessing others more than he's blessing me. He seems to be blessing all the crooks more than he is the good people. Do you ever think that? Seems to be blessing all the rich people that do bad things, and us poor folks that don't have much, it doesn't seem to be blessing us much. You need to define the word blessings, see. A blessing is not necessarily having the most money in the world. You know what the blessing is? I'll tell you what a blessing is. A blessing is knowing that if you fall over in that parking lot on the way home from church, that you're going to wake up with Jesus. That's a blessing. Don't ever forget that. The things you cannot put a dollar value to, that's the blessings. And upon those people that God has called to be his people, those blessings are there. And then number eight, there will still be room at the end at the foot of the cross. Now, I said that because we have a responsibility here in this church to reach out into this community and try to find the lost and bring them in to the love of Christ so that they can be saved. And all of us have to go to the foot of that cross to be saved, because that's where Jesus is, and that's what we have to believe in. But I want to tell you, when you came to Jesus, when you came to the foot of the cross, there was plenty of room for you. And there's still plenty of room there. So don't think that heaven is going to be too crowded for you to help somebody else find Jesus, because it's not. In fact, the Bible says only a few will find a way. One of the great desires of my heart, which I have been, which I've accomplished, is that God would use my life to help somebody else find Jesus and be saved. One of the biggest desires of my heart, to see other people come to Christ and to know Him. And as a Christian, you should feel that way too. You should want that more than anything. God, let something that I do, say, or think, or some way I act, if somebody saw me act a certain way or did something, that would make somebody be interested in Jesus. Nothing any greater than that. Plenty of room for them. Plenty of room. You can look around here. We got plenty of room for them here, don't we? We sure do. Jesus will save the lost when they come to Him. That's the other prediction. He will not fail in what He does. See, it's not our jobs to save people. Sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do because we think it's our job to save somebody. That's not even my job to save somebody being a pastor. Our job is to bring them, bring their heart to Jesus, and He does the saving. And He'll do it every time. He's never turned anybody, didn't turn you away. I didn't deserve for Him to save me, but it didn't turn me away. And He won't turn anybody that comes to Him away. He saves all who comes. And then the last one, this is, I think, the most important one, is this, that you can count on in 2021, and that is this, that Jesus will love you. And He will love me. No matter what you do, what you're thinking, where you've been, where you're going, where you wish you were, no matter what you've done, how bad it is, don't matter. Jesus loves you and loves me. And we can count on that. We can count on Jesus Christ loving us. In fact, He loved us so much. What did He do? He gave His life. He didn't do anything but good His whole life. He didn't do anything except be good, heal people, make people whole again. People eat up with leprosy, just one touch, and they were made whole. Can you imagine the power in that man? Unbelievable. To tell a man that had been dead and rotten and stinking to come out of a grave after 4 days, and the guy walks out brand new again. Huh. What a guy this Jesus is. Never did anything wrong. Didn't deserve to be beat like He was. Didn't deserve to be crucified. Didn't deserve any of that. But He did. Because He loves you. It's the only reason.